Well, as we come to our message time this morning, normally we have a full passage of Scripture and we work our way through verse by verse, but today's message is really a reflection on a single verse of Scripture, just a single verse, James 4:10, which tells us, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You know, today is Palm Sunday. This is the day we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as Jesus approached the city riding on a donkey, the people cheered and they waved those palm branches in the air. And they cried out, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, it would have been easy for you or me to let all those shouts of praise go to our heads, but not Jesus. You know, many weeks earlier, Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem, and nothing was going to deter him from his mission. He had come to humble himself and die on the cross for the salvation of all who would believe in him. And so the truth of this verse we're looking at this morning, James 4:10, this would have resonated deeply within him, even as the crowds cheered him on. So we're going to come back to this verse in a moment. But first, I want to share a simple thesis with you this morning. Okay? Ready? Here it is. Here's our thesis for today. Everyone is here and they want to get there. Sound good enough, right? Everyone's here. They want to get there. Now, when I say here, I don't mean here in this room listening to this message, okay? I'm talking in more general terms, in life. In terms of life, everyone is here and they want to get there. Now, in order to prove my thesis, let me be sneaky and define my terms. So here is where you are right now in life, where you are in life right now. There is where you want to be. So that proves the thesis, doesn't it? There you've got it. Everyone's here. They want to be there. Now, for most people, the there, right? The there that we want to get to represents some type of improvement over where we are right now, right? Everyone wants something better out of life, not worse. Now, once again, before we jump into the message, let me illustrate this thesis for you now with the image of a mountain. I want you to get a picture of a mountain in your head. Maybe it's one that you know well. Maybe it's one you've gone hiking. It's probably not in Florida. But I want you to get an image of a mountain, okay? Now, the here, where you are right now, that part of your life that you would like to see change or improve, that's located at the base of the mountain, okay? So put yourself right there at the base of the mountain. The there, the place where you want to be, it's located at the top of the mountain. So, how do you get from here to there? How do you get to the top of the mountain? That's what our message is all about today. Let's pray. Dear God, as we look into your word today, as we reflect on this very powerful verse of Scripture, I pray that you would help us apply this to our lives. As we see how this is reflected, even in Jesus on Palm Sunday, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're talking about the top of the mountain. First thing we got to do is identify the top of the mountain. What is this place that we're all looking for? You know, some people believe financial security is the top of the mountain. There's a, by the way, there's an outline in your worship guide that has all of these written down. If you want to take that out, it will help you to follow along. Some people believe financial security is the top of the mountain. They think, you know, if I only had just had enough money so I didn't have any more financial problems or worries, that would be the top of the mountain for me. But we know financial security isn't the top of the mountain because there are a lot of people out there who are rich and miserable, okay? There are too many wealthy people who are still trying to get from here to there. Money can't buy you love, and money doesn't make you happy. So financial security, not the top of the mountain. Some people think success in their chosen field, that's got to be the top of the mountain. And they tell themselves, if I could just get that promotion or strike that business deal or win that award, that would be the top of the mountain for me. But the people who've been there, the ones who've already climbed to the top of the ladder of success, they will be the first to tell you, it always leaves you wanting more. I think about Tom Brady, he was quarterback for the New England Patriots, won a bunch of Super Bowls. He said this in a 2007 interview right after he won his third ring. He said, why do I have three Super Bowl rings and I still think there's something greater out there for me? So, I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. He says, but I reached my goal, my dream, my life. And I think it's got to be more than this. It's got to be more than this. You know, Brady would go on to win even more Super Bowl rings, but even at what seemed like the very pinnacle of his career, he testified success is not the top of the mountain. It's not it. Some people think finding the perfect relationship is the top of the mountain. Now, it's getting closer. At least we're dealing with people now and relationships. But the truth here is that there are no perfect relationships in this world because there are no perfect people in this world. And so if you're looking for a human relationship to give you ultimate meaning and purpose in life, you're going to find yourself disappointed every time. So what is the top of the mountain? I'm not going to tell you yet, okay? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. And I'm going to tell you what it is and how you get there. But before we do that, I want us to look at some of the ways the world tells us you get up the mountain. You know, the world's ways up. The world's ways up. Let me share with you the four main ways the world tries to get from here to there. How does the world say you get to the top of the mountain? Okay, first way is simple. The way up is up. Okay, it seems to make sense, doesn't it? The way up is up. This is the path of self-exaltation. And the problem with the path of self-exaltation is pride. This is pride in yourself. When you take this path, the way up is up because you believe the only way you're going to get to the top of the mountain is if you lift yourself there, if you lift yourself up. So what do? You boast, you brag, you draw attention to yourself. I mean, after all, you're the greatest, you're the best, you're the king of the mountain. And if you can just convince yourself and everyone else that you're already there, if you can just do that, if you can just convince everyone that you've already arrived at the top, then maybe, just maybe, you really will be there. And that's the path of self-exaltation. The path of self-exaltation says the way up is up. Second way the world tries to get to the top of the mountain is over. Over. This is the path of self-promotion. And whereas the path of self-exaltation is pride in yourself, the path of self-promotion is pride in comparison to other people. And when you take this path, the way up is over because you believe the only way to get to the top of the mountain is to get there over other people. So what do? If this is your path, you criticize and compare. You talk behind people's backs. The smaller other people seem, the bigger you appear. And so you develop this nasty habit of cutting people down to size. You put yourself first at every opportunity. You convince yourself that you are more important than anyone else. You view other people as stepping stones to get you where you want to go, and then you willingly climb over their backs to get there. That's the path of self-promotion. And this path says the way up is over, over other people who are getting in your way. Third way the world tries to get to the top of the mountain is through. And this is the path of self-effort. Now, the path of self-effort is also pride, but this time it's pride in your own accomplishments and abilities. And when you take this path, the way up is through. Why? Because you believe the only way to the top of the mountain is through your own efforts. So what do? You labor, you work, you take pride in all that you do. That old phrase, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, that was invented just for you. You don't take charity. Everything you are, everything you have is the result of your own labor and work, or so you believe. You will get to the top of the mountain all by yourself, thank you, because you want all the credit once you get there. This is the path of self-effort. It's a path that says the way up is through. One more. Fourth way the world tries to get you to the top of the mountain, and that is around. Around. This is the path of self-preservation. And the path of self-preservation is the pride of entitlement. When you take this path, the way up is around because you believe the only way you're going to reach the top of the mountain is to go around all the obstacles in your way. So what do? If this is your path, you avoid pain and sacrifice whenever you can. You don't believe the rules apply to you, so you go around them at every chance. You hate discipline. You take shortcuts. You drive in the breakdown lane. You live in a way, if everyone lived the way that you lived, the world couldn't function. But you think that's okay because not everyone is me, right? I'm entitled. I'm somebody. I'm special. And so you go through life avoiding anything that causes you displeasure or discomfort. This is the path of self-preservation, which says the way up is around. So those are the four main ways the world tries to get you from here to there, up, over, through, and around. And you know what? They all have something in common. Well, one thing they all have in common is pride, so that's one thing. But they all have something else in common. You know what it is? None of them work. None of them work. None of them will actually get you from here to there. None of them will get you to the top of the mountain. And when you try to take the way up, over, through, or around, you will always find yourself where? Back at the base of the mountain, still waiting to get from here to there. So if the way is not up and it's not over, it's not through, it's not around, how do you get there? What's the true way up? And this is where we turn to God's way instead of the world's way. And when we do this, we find that God's way up stands in stark contrast to all of the world's ways we just looked at. Because God says the way up is down. Down. The way up is down. That's what this word humble means. I told you we'd get back to James 4:10. It took us a little bit, but that's what this word humble means in James 4:10. It translates a word which means to make low or to bring low. And this is the path of self-denial. Self-denial is the very opposite of pride. Because instead of exalting yourself, the way up is up, or promoting yourself, the way up is over, or taking pride in your efforts, the way up is through, or seeking to preserve your life at all costs, the way up is around, instead you deny yourself. You take up your cross and you follow Christ instead. Notice James says you are to humble yourself before the Lord. Before the Lord, it's not enough just to deny yourself certain pleasures or privileges in life. Because you know what? You could do that and you could still take pride in your self-denial. Right? You could end up flaunting your humility before others. But you can't fool God. And so James says you need to humble yourself before the Lord. And that word translated before literally means right there, right in front of God, right in his sight, right in his presence. And so this humbling that James is speaking about, this humbling of yourself is primarily before God, not before other people. Now, you would think that shouldn't be too difficult, right? I mean, really, how hard can it be to humble yourself before God? God's pretty big. We're pretty small. And yet the fact that we all still struggle with this just shows how much pride is ingrained in our sinful nature. But we need to do this because you know what God will do when you humble yourself before him? James says what? He will lift you up. He will take you from here to there. He'll bring you to the top of the mountain. Now, I promised you earlier, I'd tell you what the top of the mountain is. Okay, we've already seen it's not financial security, it's not success in your chosen field, it's not finding the perfect relationship here in this world. So what is the top of the mountain? Some of you peeked ahead in your sheet, that's okay. The top of the mountain is the place of perfect peace and contentment that we find in God alone. That's it, okay? That's the top of the mountain. Not everyone realizes that's what they're looking for, but that's what they're looking for. That's what we're all looking for. St. Augustine probably said it best when he prayed, Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. And so how do you get from here to there? How do you get to that place of perfect peace and contentment? God says the way up is down. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's a paradox. You know, a paradox is something that seems contradictory at first glance, but upon closer inspection proves to be true. There are a lot of paradoxes in Scripture. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Whoever among you wants to be the greatest must become the least and the servant of all. And perhaps right at the top of the list of paradoxes, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. How do you get to the top of the mountain? The way up, it's down. So I want to close this morning with a few applications now of this principle. Let's see how this principle now, which is just kind of a vague principle out there, how does this apply in real life? How does it operate in our lives today? And to do that, we need to return now to those four ways the world says we get from here to there, and then we see how God's way works instead. Okay, so we're going to go back one at a time. First of all, world's way number one. The way up is up the path of self-exaltation. Do you know when I struggle with this one the most? It's when I'm first meeting someone in a new situation, first time I meet somebody. You know, it's very tempting in a new setting for us to try to prove ourselves to others. And you get in that setting, and maybe you rarely talk about yourself with your friends or anything like that. All of a sudden, you find yourself just talking about yourself and putting yourself forward in ways, you know, that you probably don't do in more familiar situations. And then afterwards, you're kicking yourself and go, why did I do that? You know, why do we do that? Well, because in that moment, we are convinced that the way up is up. But you see, if we take God's way, the way up is down. If we take God's way, then what are we going to do in that situation? We'll take more interest in the other person. We'll love them for God's sake. We'll seek to learn more about them. We'll seek to build them up rather than building ourselves up in their eyes. And then we let God lift us up in his way, in his timing. Because the way up, it's not up, folks. It's down. And then there's world's way number two, right? The way up is over. The path of self-promotion. Now, this one gets tricky, right? Because there are legitimate times when we need to promote ourselves. For example, when you're putting together a resume or interviewing for a job. And the key here is to be honest. Okay, don't think because you're trying to be humble, don't put on your resume, oh, and by the way, I'm a lousy person and a terrible worker. You would never want to hire me. Just hire the next person, okay? You don't do that. You know, Romans 12:3, I love this verse, says this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's the pride angle, right? But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In other words, know your abilities and give an honest assessment of yourself to your boss or potential employer or anyone else. But even as you do this, recognize that everything you have comes from God. Give God the glory for the abilities he has given you. And especially, remember this, promotion does not come from self. It does not come from others. It comes from the Lord. Psalm 75 says this, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. The way up is not over other people. The way up is down. And then we've got world's way number three, right? The way up is through the path of self-effort. Now, the very worst example of this, okay? The very worst example of world's way number three is when we try to work our way into heaven. When we try to earn God's favor through our own good works. Now, good works are good, but they're not the way to salvation. They're not the way to life with God. The Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. See, we're not saved by our own works, but rather by God's grace given to us through Jesus, his Son, who died for us, so that we could be forgiven. And how do you reach this place of God's blessing and favor? You humbly confess your sins to God. You admit your need for a Savior, and you believe that Jesus died to be your Savior. Because the way up is not through your own efforts. The way up is down. And then how about world's way number four? The way up is around, the path of self-preservation. Well, Jesus kind of destroyed that one when he said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. It's another one of those paradoxes, but it's so true. When you try to save your life, when you try to preserve it, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus Christ, you will find your life in a way that you never thought possible. The way up is not around, because you can't go around the cross. You can't go around the cross for salvation, and you can't go around the cross as a Christian. God's way is not the way of self-preservation, but the way of self-denial. The way up is down. And then finally, as we close, let me just point you once again to Jesus. Jesus, who is the supreme example of this principle. You know, God could have just stayed up in heaven and shouted this principle down to us, right? Here's James 4:10, just shouted it to us. And it would have been just as true. But God didn't do that, did he? The way up is down. And so Jesus, the Son of God, came down. He came down to earth as a man. And as Paul writes in Philippians, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So Jesus, he's riding into Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday. The people are cheering him on. But Jesus knows better. He comes humble and lowly, riding on a donkey. His face is set toward the cross at Calvary. And Jesus is the living embodiment of this verse in James 4. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this amazing verse of Scripture, the amazing principle it teaches us. Lord, we are all guilty of trying to take the world's paths up the mountain. And Lord, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's just pride. It's just pride. Lord, help us to learn to humble ourselves that you can lift us up. Help us to learn that your way up is for us to go down, even as Jesus went lower than any of us would ever dare to go. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, and you will lift us up in your way, in your time. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.